I hope you paid close attention to those words of that song we just sang. Jesus, awesome. Awesome and powerful. Awesome and wonderful. You believe Jesus is awesome and wonderful? Amen. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. We're going to begin in verse 14. I'm going to talk to you today just briefly about, the message title is Believe. Believe. And that can cover a whole lot of stuff over a whole lot of time. But we're going to focus on one passage here today, and I want to share a few others with you. But in Mark chapter 9, this is a place where there was a young man, a boy, that was demon-possessed, and the demons were trying to kill him and would cause convulsions and seizures and all kinds of things. And the boy's father had taken him to the disciples, and they tried to cast the demon out, but they weren't able to. Let's look at verse 14, and I'm just going to read the passage to you. And when they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with him about?" he asked. And then a man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of his speech. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I ask your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "O unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." And so they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." And Jesus said, if you can," said Jesus. "Everything is possible for him who believes." And immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." I wonder, as you sit here today, do you have unbelief? Either as a Christian, or maybe as an unbeliever, as a person that has not yet become a Christian. Do you have unbelief? Now, I think our prideful answer and our instant response would say, "Oh no, I believe." But I think that's something we need to be challenged in constantly. And I believe this is what Jesus is using this passage to do, to challenge not only the boy's father, but his disciples. So, let me just ask a few questions. What do you believe about God? What do you believe about God as you sit here today? You know, Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God." And it says, "Anyone that comes to him must believe that he exists." Must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who diligently, earnestly seek him. Amen. So what do you believe this morning about God? Let me ask you something else. What do you believe about Jesus? What do you believe about Jesus? You know, in Matthew 16, Jesus was having a discussion with his disciples, and he said, "Who do people say that I am?" And they said, "Well, a prophet, a teacher, this, that." And then he asked Peter, "Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So I ask you this morning, what do you believe about Jesus as you sit here this morning? Think about that. Who is Jesus to you? What do you believe about the Holy Spirit this morning as you sit here? The Holy Spirit, God's Spirit. What do you believe about the Holy Spirit? You know, in John 16, it says when Jesus was talking to his disciples before he was going to leave the earth, and he said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Do you believe that the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth? As you sit here this morning, what do you believe about the Holy Spirit? What do you believe about healing? Healing. Now, the point of the message today is not about healing, although it involves an incident of healing with Jesus. But as you sit here this morning as a believer or unbeliever, what do you believe about healing? In James 5, James talks about the prayer offered in faith. Prayers offered in faith will heal, will make the sick person well. And he says, the prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective. Do you believe, as you sit here this morning, that prayer, prayed with the right heart, the right spirit, with the right motive, do you believe prayer is powerful and effective?
Amen.
You know, I sometimes wonder. I really do. Because we emphasize prayer here. But yet in our prayer times, we just seem to see people just stagnant and stuck to their chairs. It says in James, he talks about coming to each other and praying for one another so that you can be healed. So as you sit here this morning, what do you believe about healing? Let me throw another one at you. What do you believe about giving? What do you believe about giving as you sit here this morning? You know, in Luke, he tells us that we're to give. It says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down and running over. With the measure that you give, it's also the measure that you'll receive. Now, it doesn't mean give to get. If that's what you believe about giving, you've got the wrong perspective. But what do you believe as you sit here this morning about giving? Do you believe that God's word tells us to tithe? Do you believe that tithing is something that God asks of us and that God, as it says in Hebrews, rewards those who diligently seek Him? You know, it's not just about monetary stuff. You know, we don't give to get. Tithing is not something that produces just monetary blessings. It produces spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings that can't be measured in dollars. Do you believe, as Paul wrote to the Philippian church, do you believe that you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength?
Amen.
It's easy to say amen to that, isn't it? When things are okay. But what about when you're staring into the face of an impossible situation that seems to your mind impossible? Do you believe you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you then in that situation? Well, let's get back to the text. I want us to notice something about this. In verse 23, well, in verse 21, Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered, throws him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And I want you to notice Jesus' response there. He says, and I'm using the NIV today, if you can, said Jesus, as a rhetorical question. If you can. See, he repeated what the Father had said. If you can. Now, I can wonder all kinds of things about what Jesus was thinking then and how he meant that. He may have been a little bit taken back. He may have been a little bit agitated by that. He may have been sad about the Father's words, if you can. I mean, Jesus was standing in front of him. And he had already brought him to his disciples, who he knew was part of Jesus' crew, and they couldn't do anything. So he says, I brought him to you. So obviously, he knew who Jesus was, right? Would you think so? But then he said, if you can, if you can do anything, have mercy on us. I wonder how many times when we pray, are we mentally and emotionally approach a situation. I wonder how many times do we subconsciously ask that question in our life. Jesus, if you can. Now, we may not say those words. We may not even think those words, but we might think something like, I wonder how many times you've prayed with someone over a need that they have, and maybe subconsciously we pray just to placate them and make them feel better. But we don't really believe necessarily God's going to do something. You know, I believe, and it's interesting here, Jesus says everything is possible for him who believes. Everything is possible for him who believes. Now, he's not saying, give me a new red truck tomorrow, God, because my other one's got 100 or 200,000 miles on it. It's worn out. It's falling apart. Oh, Lord, give me, I really need $200 tomorrow, and I just got this thing I've been wanting for a long time, and it's on sale. God, I need $200. That's not what he's talking about when he says everything is possible. What he's talking about is everything that's sought through God's will, everything that's sought with the right motive, the right heart, is possible with God. If it's of God, it's possible. This boy's healing. God wants us to be healed. He wants us to be whole. He wants us to be well. Whether we're healed here in this life or we're healed when we're totally restored in our eternal life as Christians. God's desire is for us to be healed, not just physically, but mentally, emotionally, in all kinds of ways. That's his desire. And this is what he's talking about. Everything is possible for him who believes. And so there's an indication. I used to kind of get a little agitated when I'd hear people say, well, you know, sometimes God, you know, doesn't do things because of the lack of faith in people. And I used to get agitated with that. But as I studied Scripture more, you know, that's true. That can be true. Now, Jesus touches and heals people that don't even believe in him. See, God's not in a box. He's not limited by time and space and thoughts in our head. But as Christians, professing believers, faith can hinder what he does. If you read in Mark, I think it's chapter 6, when Jesus went to his hometown, it says he could only do a few little minor miracles, assuming like maybe headaches or a little broken finger or something, because of their lack of faith, is what the word says. And so our faith, our belief, has a whole lot to do with God's actions in our lives. It really does. And, you know, why are you telling this, Pastor? Because I know sometimes, if we're all honest, we all have doubt at times, don't we? I mean, we doubt God can restore my marriage. We doubt God can deliver this person from drugs. We doubt God can take away this addiction or this harmful habit that I have in my life. See, we don't believe that. Really believe it at times. We doubt. We have doubt. And Jesus, his message here is, don't doubt. Believe. Believe. That's where it starts, in faith. Believe. A little later in this passage, after this had happened, he was alone with his disciples. And they asked him privately, why couldn't we drive this thing out? In verse 29, he replied, this kind can come out only by prayer. And the New King James says prayer and fasting. But if you look at a lot of the other versions that Matthew wrote, that Luke wrote of this account, and the different translations, most of them just say prayer. And I think that's key there, because fasting is good. What does fasting do? What's the purpose of fasting? It focuses us on God. But he said prayer is the key. You know, I talked about this during our fast, our 21-day fast. We can fast for 42 days, for 60 days. But if we're not focusing on God during that fast, it really doesn't mean anything. It's a gruesome diet, okay? Jesus says, he replied, this kind can come out only by prayer. There's another version that says, and I think Matthew writes it, and he said to his disciples, because of your lack of faith is why you couldn't cast that out. So sometimes our lack of faith keeps us from blessings that God wants to put into our life. They really do. It really does. You know, last Monday, Pastor Bill and I had an opportunity to go to an event at YWAM, which stands for Youth with a Mission. They have a training headquarters up in Claremont, between Claremont and Windermere up there in the woods. They've got a couple hundred acres there with little cabins and stuff and meeting rooms. They bring in youth that are preparing to go on the mission field, and they train them. They train them for about 3 months. And then they send them somewhere on the mission field for a short time. And then they bring them back and take them through some training again. And then they'll eventually equip them to go out onto the mission field, whether it be somewhere in this country or in another country. But Michael Berg, the director there, who had a big part, I think he founded Youth with a Mission years ago. He shared about this one young woman who they had worked with for about 3 months, and they sent her out to one of these third world countries, her and some others, and to start to put their faith in action and start to work on the mission field for a time. And she was really a bright young woman, he said, and had a lot of faith. But while she was on the mission field, they were doing things with people and having classes and Bible studies and things like that. And they were having a session one night. And this man came up to her with this withered, messed up hand, all curled up and withered. And he walked up to her and held it up to her. And her response was, I can't imagine what's going on in her mind, but her response was, well, I'll pray for you. And so she prayed for him. And as she prayed for him, when she finished, the hand began to straighten out, and it straightened out right before her. And she fainted and passed out. True story. I wonder how many people here would faint if something like that happened in here. Think about it. We've had some miraculous things go on in here. You know, we need to believe first. We need to believe and then act on it. You know, when I pray for somebody to be healed, I'm under no pressure to see that healing take place, because it's all on God. I'm just obedient. I pray for people. I pray for situations. We prayed for someone this just the other day, had internal bleeding. The doctors couldn't figure out where it was coming from, but bleeding and losing blood. And we just prayed over the person. 24 hours later, I got a text from them, said they're releasing me from the hospital. And I thought, that's odd. And I text back, did the bleeding stop? And she said, yes, praise God, it stopped. Praise God, it stopped. See, we just have to believe. We just pray. I didn't come away from there with anything of, okay, God, are you going to do this or whatever? Never thought about it again. We just obedient. We just prayed. We prayed over the person in the hospital and encouraged them and left. In 24 hours, the bleeding stopped. See, God wants us to believe. God wants us to believe. And he wants this belief to be an everyday part of our life. He wants us to operate in this idea of believing him, believing that he's living and active in our life every day. Believe that he can do things in our family's life that look impossible, in our children's life, our grandchildren, that look impossible, in our relationships, in our marriages, things that we think, oh boy. And see, he doesn't want our response to be, oh boy. He wants our response to be, God, you said I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Lord, you said to believe, to come to you, believe that you exist, and that if I earnestly seek you, you're going to honor that. Yes. Believe. Believe. As I close today, yes, I'm finished, believe it or not, almost. I want you to turn over to Romans chapter 10. It's not going to be on the screen because I didn't put it in. This is something that kind of the Lord added in here to this. But, I believe there's people here today that have situations going on in their life, and they don't really believe God can change that situation or even that God can work in that situation. I believe there's people here today that have health issues that just don't believe God can do anything about it. I believe there's people here today that maybe are struggling with addictions or something of some sort that's not healthy for you. And you don't believe God can deliver you from that. But he can. But he wants you to believe first. I believe there's probably somebody here that maybe is not a Christian, that hasn't really given their whole heart to Christ. They know about God and they know the buzzwords and they may even pray over their meal and come to church because you're here. But you've never really, you don't believe that God can make a difference in your life, that God can actually come in and take up residence and change your life. And so I want to show you this scripture. It's in Romans 10, beginning in verse 9, and it says, well, I'm going to back up to verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth, in your heart. That is the word of faith that we are proclaiming. Do you know what I'm doing this morning? I'm just proclaiming God's word of faith. Because that's what this book is about. It's about faith. And he says in verse 9 that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. That if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Lord. And you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And then he explains it in verse 10. He says, for it is with your heart that you believe. How many believe things in your mind? Get your hands up. Because every one of you do. We believe things in our mind. We hear something, which a lot of times is gossip. That's a freebie I just threw in there. And we believe it, don't we? Somebody tells us something, oh, they're a credible person, I believe it. But they got it from somebody that's not credible. They believed it, and now they've shared it with you. See, here's what he says. It's with your heart that you believe. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. Justification comes through faith. In other words, that's when faith, I talked about it a couple of weeks ago, about revelation, you know, an idea, a thought. It's got to get from here down to here to become revelation. That's what he's talking about here. Faith is here. See, the reason he says that, and I believe the reason he puts it in there to make it clear, is that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and, you know, there's a lot of people that do that. The biggest response is, are you a Christian? Yeah, I believe in God. So do the demons. See, that doesn't make you believing there is a God doesn't make you a Christian. He says if you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth, but there's more to it than that, confessing with your mouth. There's more to it than saying I'm a Christian because I believe there's a God. It's if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Now you think about somebody that's dead, they're dead. Jesus was dead. God raised him back to life as if nothing had ever happened to him. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. You see, if we believe something in our head, in our mind, what changes more than anything? Our mind. It happens all the time. People say, well, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that or I'll meet you there. And then they don't. Well, I changed my mind. And see, if I talk you into Jesus and you just believe Jesus in your mind, somebody else can talk you out of Jesus because you just believe in your mind. But if it's in your heart, the Bible says you believe, you really believe in your heart. See, we know in our head, but we don't need more knowledge. Christians fill their heads full of knowledge all the time, just like the Pharisees did, and they do nothing with it. We don't need more knowledge. We need more belief. We need more heart. Because believing is in our heart. And you know what? I can't change your heart. Nobody can change your heart. I can go in and cut your heart out, but it won't change your heart. We believe and are justified. And then we confess with our mouth and are saved. And then verse 13 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Do you believe that? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. Well, you need to take that in context. Because it just doesn't mean, oh, Lord, I believe in you. No, when he says call on the name of the Lord, call with your heart. Believe is what that means. Everyone who believes in the name of the Lord, in their heart, will be saved. You know, I didn't mention salvation in the beginning. As you sit here this morning, what do you think about God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and healing? But now I ask you, what do you think about salvation? You know, we think of this demon-possessed boy as being a great miracle. You think of this, the young woman, the young missionary I told you about, prayed over the man and fainted when his hand straightened out and became whole. That's a miracle, but it's not nearly as big as the miracle of salvation. To me, that is the biggest miracle that God, Jesus, has ever done, because it changes, literally changes who you are. You're not the same person. The Bible says the old is gone, the new has come. Salvation's a miracle. So I ask you this morning, what do you believe about salvation? Let's pray together. And I want you, as you're praying, I want you to ponder that. As you sit here today, what do you believe about those words I just shared with you from Romans? That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You'll become a Christian. Saved from hell, which is every unbeliever's destination. So maybe you've never really had that experience with Christ. You've never really believed that. You've just never been able to get your head and your heart around the fact that he could really change who you are. But the Bible says, and we believe the Bible to be God's word, whole word and whole truth. The Bible says, confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Do you believe that this morning? Maybe you've never believed that. Maybe you think, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. You don't know the things I've done. That can't be for me. Listen, Jesus didn't come and die for good people. Jesus didn't come and die for righteous people. He came and died for all of us, every person who needs a Savior and Lord. Do you need that Savior and Lord this morning? Have you been coming to church for a while just thinking, because I come to church and I believe what the pastor says, that I'm a Christian and I'm going to heaven? Let me tell you, it's not going to get you there. It won't get you there. You have to confess with your mouth. You have to believe in your heart, not your head, that God raised him from the dead. Is there someone here that would just slip their hand up and say, Pastor, I want to believe? Just like the boy's father, help me with my unbelief. Would you say, help me with my unbelief? There's one. Any others? Someone that needs to believe? Someone that needs to believe that Christ was raised for the dead, from the dead, and that he would be their Savior. Anyone else? Okay, you can slip your hands out. How about you Christians? Do you need help with your unbelief today? Are there things in your life, situations, people, relationships that you've just never really trusted and believed that God could help? You need help with your unbelief? Just slip your hand up. Christians, do you need help with your unbelief? Father, I pray today that you would help all of us with our unbelief, because I believe, God, there are times in our lives that we all struggle with at least some unbelief in situations or circumstances. And we can know it by the way we respond or we react. Sometimes out of panic, sometimes out of fear, sometimes out of doubt. Just doubt. So God, help us all with unbelief. Help us to believe. Help us to believe not if you can, Jesus, but help us to believe you can, Jesus. Jesus, you can. Father, strengthen us in our faith in every area of our life. Strengthen us. Help us to believe God, to believe Jesus, to believe in the teacher, the comforter, the Holy Spirit, to believe in how He works and moves in our lives, to believe that You want to heal, to believe that You want salvation to come to everyone, in our families, in our friends. Help us to believe that, and that we are a part of that. And we can pray for those, pray for that salvation, God, and we can see it come about. Help us to believe, Father, that we can do all things according to Your will through Jesus Christ, who gives us strength to endure, to persevere, to hope, to understand, and sometimes not to understand, but to still believe. Believe. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, who lives and breathes and moves in us and through us. Thank You, Lord. And now, Father, as we bring our tithes and our offerings to You today, help us to believe in those areas. Even those that have nothing to give, God, help us to believe that Your blessings are for us, that Your protection and Your provision is for us, for each one of us. But God, those who aren't trusting You, help us to believe, even in this area of our lives, to believe that You honor those who diligently and earnestly seek You. In Jesus' name. Amen. Ushers, if you'll come and receive the tithes and offerings this morning. And I want to make sure that you, again, if you're wanting to be baptized, just check the back of your card, and I'll meet with you right after the service. If you have a prayer need, put it on the back of the card. Use those things. If you made a decision this morning, check it or write it on the back of the card, just so we can pray with you. If you're watching on the internet and you made a decision this morning, go to our website. Send us an email. Let us know what God's done in your life. Let us know how we can pray for you. There's a prayer line on our website.